chapter 13, from the first verse to verse 17. John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen.
Thank you, Bob. And now we pray again. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth takes its name, we, thy children, gathered at thy holy table, remember before thee all with whom we have had part in the communion of thy saints, and we beseech thee to hear our humble intercessions. We thank you for those who have gone before us in the faith and have now entered into your eternal glory. We pray for your church on earth. We pray that you will increase and sanctify her more and more. Reveal thy power among the nations and hasten the victory of thine eternal kingdom. We remember our own parish and congregation of St. David's. Be pleased to pour out the riches of your grace upon us all. We pray for our country, for our Queen, for our government, for leaders of all the political parties, for those who exercise great influence in our land, in the sphere of education and justice. We pray that all that is done may be done to the honour of your name. Lord, as a nation in many ways we've turned away from you, in your mercy bring us back, we pray. Lord, we remember those who are ill and those who suffer, those who are very old and those who are near to death, all those in trouble and bereavement at this time, especially those known to us. We remember too our families and friends, our own loved ones, whether they be near us or far away from us across the oceans. May thy presence be their strength and stay. Bless them and keep them, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now your offerings will be received. Our session clerk, Robert McLean, read to us the familiar passage in John 13 of Jesus taking the form of a servant and washing his disciples' feet. As you know, that was the custom in those days, in those dusty roads, in the semi-tropical atmosphere. When a guest came to the house, they needed their feet washed. It was usually the role of a servant or a slave. And here Jesus is showing his humility. But there's far more to this story than a demonstration of humility. We read in verse 1 of John 13, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. It was the time for Jesus to leave this world to die, in other words. And very soon he would die and rise again and ascend to heaven. He was going to leave the world. And he shows the disciples the full extent of his love. And what is that? Well, it's his death, of course. And washing the disciples' feet was, it, as it were, an enacted parable where Jesus demonstrated in a parable what his death and resurrection would mean, and also how we are to receive Christ as our Savior. Verse 3 and 4 we read, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. He took off his outer clothes and put on a towel. Laying down his outer clothes is the same word for that word laying down or taking off his outer clothes. It's the same word used earlier in John 10 when we read that the good shepherd laid down his life for us all. So Jesus, in laying down his outer clothes, is showing that he soon will lay down his life. But then he begins to wash the disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter. Verse 6 to 8. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So Peter objects to Jesus behaving like a servant. Do you remember another time when Peter objected to the thought of Jesus going to the cross? In Mark's Gospel, we read, chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus began to teach them that he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. There was Peter, couldn't bear the fact that Christ was going to die, and here he can't bear the fact that Christ is going to behave like a servant. In normal human fellowship with one another and friendship and working with one another, it's our human nature not to like a master to become a servant. Why not? Because if we obey those above us, then we can let our own authority be felt on those below us. And if our master acts like a servant, it challenges our authority to rule those under us. And so Peter didn't like what Jesus was doing. It challenged the whole structure of society, with one above the other, above another. So Jesus gives Peter a solemn reply. He says, unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. Reminiscent of Jesus' first words to Peter, after Peter had said to him, no, you must not go to the cross, Jesus said, that is the word of the devil. Get behind me, Satan. And now Jesus is saying to Peter, unless I wash you, unless you allow me to be like a servant to you, you will have no part with me at all. So each one of us must be humble enough to allow the Lord's humility to cleanse us from sin and pride and self-righteousness. And Christ does not cleanse us by some magical substance or some spiritual soap powder. He cleanses us by his own humble life and death. Paul in 1 Corinthians says the weakness of God is stronger than men. So Jesus' drastic warning to Peter that unless you allow me to be like a servant to you, that you will have no part with me. That drastic warning sends Peter to the other extreme. So he says in verse 9, Simon replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Wash all of me. But you can't add anything to the cross of Christ. Jesus' work on the cross is complete and finished. All that we have from God is found there. We can't be even more spiritual than Jesus. It's wrong to try to be extra spiritual by doing a multitude of spiritual exercises so that we become extravagantly spiritual, because that would lead to spiritual pride. And we would end up more distant from Christ, not near to him, and not like him. So Jesus says, he who has had his feet washed, that is enough. All that I'm going to do for you on the cross is sufficient. Now at the head of the table, what does he say? He says, I've washed your feet. You wash mine? No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, now you come and wash my feet. Because they would all have been fighting for the bowl to outdo one another in showing off their humility. Each fighting for his right to be the most humble one. So Jesus says, not you wash my feet, but you wash one another's feet. In other words, our neighbor, our fellow human being, is to receive from us what we owe our master. For as much as you do this to one of the least of my brethren, Jesus said, you do it unto me. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness, love and mercy to us. As we draw near to communion, we thank you for him who for our sakes took on the form of a servant and was obedient even unto death. But you have highly exalted him, so may he be present with us in all our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen.